I was one that was involved in discussion with Representative Clark yesterday. We're comfortable with that. One of the intents in the formulation of this bill and readily recognized by law enforcement was a responsibility for us to follow the act, and we realize there are some counties that are not dealing with concealed weapons permits. We realize there are some jurisdictions not dealing with record checks. So we're very comfortable with it.
Mr. Chairman, Major Renfro, State Police. I, too, was involved in the meeting yesterday, and we are comfortable, the State Police are comfortable with this.
Can I inquire?
Representative Mannix.
Representative Clark, do you also intend to take out this Class C felony then that you've got in here, that we had in here?
No, actually, we talked about that with the law enforcement people, and they're comfortable with that.
Or keeping the central registry?
Yeah, because they think that puts a lot of incentive on their folks to...
Well, then we should limit it to any public employee who intentionally violates the prohibition against compiling records. I'm just concerned now that... maybe if you would take a look, Representative Clark, at page 4.
Where we have the dash 11s?
On the dash 11s, lines 10 through 16.
Also, the words "or local government" is going to be coming out of that paragraph.
Yeah, local government has to come out of there.
All right.
Local
government
is coming out of there.
That's all I need to know.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, is local government going to come out, or is there going to be an exemption provision in here for local? My understanding was we were going to leave this in, but then down below say, notwithstanding this section, local government can keep records for this purpose. Wasn't that how we were going to handle that?
That's why we revisited the issue this morning. No, local government is going to come out of here, and then there's going to be a new section dealing with local government.
Is there anybody else uncomfortable with that? I'm uncomfortable with that.
I'm comfortable.
It does the same thing.
Well, if we take them out altogether, it might indicate they can keep records that they can't keep.
Well, but then we're talking about putting in a separate section dealing with local government. Which is what we just did.
There's going to be a whole other section that says...
We're just going to take the words "or local government" out of line 11 and add another section talking about what local government can and can't do, like we talked about 20 minutes ago.
Correct.
Okay, I'd probably be comfortable with that. Let's move Representative Clark's conceptual amendment for the Civil Rights Action. Any discussion of that conceptual amendment? Opposition? It's adopted. Nice work, Representative Clark, on that.
Nice work, Council.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Mannix.
I'd like to take us to the Dash 7 amendment, which I had proposed earlier. Representative Clark had inquired about this. First, I'll move the Dash 7 amendment, and then, if I may, I will explain its reasoning.
I'm going to have a hard time digging that out of my, because I got a thick file here, and I don't know.
We have one spare copy here.
One copy we can... I'll read it into there, or I'll have counsel read it for us, so we'll know what we're...
I'll have counsel summarize it. what Representative Mannix has proposed in the Dash 7 amendments is directing a interim committee study and recommendation regarding the use of a unified state ID card basically, I think for the end result of making driver's licenses more valid in the state, and also for the purpose of creating firearms identification cards.
That's a really nice job you did there on that, Council. Is that correct, Representative Mannix?
Yes, and may I explain, Mr. Chairman?
Please, Representative Mannix.
During the public hearings on this bill, it occurred to me, and I raised this with a lot of witnesses, that we may well want to move to a system eventually, particularly if we're able to develop an instant confirmation of identification or confirmation of background, a system where someone would have a simplified firearms ID card, which could even be an endorsement on a motor vehicle's license. Our concern right now is that the motor vehicle's licenses are not reliable, and Representative Bryan is sitting on a committee which is working hard to develop proposals that are going to very much tighten up on the licensing requirements in regard to motor vehicle licenses. And the idea was that, say that this national ID system doesn't work out, I'd like to see us studying the prospect of saying that someone who gets a motor vehicle's license could also have at that time maybe pay a small additional fee for the background check and the mental health history check, and have some confirmation noted on the motor vehicle license that the person is a good citizen in terms of firearms purchases. And with that, the person would be able to present that identification that has their photo on it. I haven't addressed what other forms of identification might be connected with that. I've tried to leave it open-ended, but a system where you can go into a gun dealer, present this card. There might even be a confirmation system where it has a number on it, and they can check the number through a computer to make sure the card hasn't been revoked. It might be worked out through DMV. There's a lot of options. That's why we're talking study here rather than a proposal. But to move towards the idea that you might have this ID card, and it's a voluntary thing to have an endorsement on there for firearms. It could even conceptually include, if you had a concealed weapons permit, to just show the endorsement for concealed weapons on the same card. The idea would be then that we would have a mechanism in place over the next couple of years to look at these alternatives, and I particularly wanted to do it now because of the fact that motor vehicles, and is it the Transportation Committee, Representative Bryan, are working together on this whole licensing issue, and this would be the time to keep all of these other possibilities in mind.
Thank you very much, Representative Mannix. Representative Bryan.
Just a comment. We may want to move that interim activity in the judiciary sub format rather than transportation anyway, because we are looking at a number of other benefits. If we strengthen the driver's license adequately, we'll be able to use it in commerce, you know, banking and so forth, magnetically encoded strips, digitized photographs and other things that we're looking at, that almost becomes a stable, universal piece of ID. And I'm not sure if it could end up even, could be a subcommittee of transportation, or the more I've thought about it, I think it could even be a subcommittee of judiciary.
Mr. Chairman? Big Brother DMV is on the way. That's reassuring.
Well, a voluntary system, not a required system. And it directs the appropriate interim committee to do that. So it doesn't specify what committee.
I think Representative Mannix has just done some great work on this. Does anybody else have any comments, concerns? Otherwise, Representative Clark.
I don't have any problem with a study. I get real nervous about centralized ID forms and systems and fingerprints and all that anyway, and I may well end up not liking whatever comes out, but I don't think study anything they want to.
I think it's weak. I think
I mean, there's some merit to it.
Representative Clark doesn't have to drive if he doesn't want
the solution to problems from tinting windows to you don't have to drive. The bill from hell on tinting windows. It's all going to be handled in the interim. I just think that's a terrific idea. It's kind of the legislature's way of procrastinating. Okay. Any other discussion? Well, since we're on the issue of ID, there was one little.
Is there a motion on the table?
There is a motion.
The -7 amendments.
Portion of my just something I want to put into the record, since we're discussing an identification issue, that I hope will be brought up during the interim. I don't know if we can get a copy of this. I was presented with a copy of the same forms that Patrick Purdy filled out when he bought his AK-47. And if I remember, maybe the committee can correct me on this if I'm wrong. If I remember correctly, it was represented previously that one of our big problems in this whole game was identification, and that Patrick Purdy had used fictitious names on the forms that he filled out, and therefore it was just impossible for the government to have any impact on Patrick Purdy, because in fact he'd used a fictitious name, so they didn't know who it was that was buying the gun. Is that correct from the committee's recollection, or?
Frankly, I don't remember. I've never focused on Purdy, although a lot of other people have. I've never focused on him at all as far as this bill goes.
Counsel?
I don't recall.
Representative Bryan?
I didn't hear the question, Mr. Chairman.
Well, I think that the earlier representation we had about Patrick Purdy was that he used a false name on his.
Oh. He did in California, but not in Oregon.
In Oregon, he used. So just for the record, I might have counsel might load this in. I've got some copies for the committee of the forms that Patrick Purdy filled out when he purchased his firearm. And in fact, he did use his correct name. And apparently, the only section of the form I can see that he might have had to lie on would have been, has he ever been adjudicated mentally defective, et cetera, et cetera. But hopefully this will be something that can be looked over in the interim with the interim study that Representative Mannix has suggested to figure out if identification is actually the problem or if there's some other problem in the current system, and hopefully we're going to fix it with this bill if there is. I just wanted to get that into the record, though. This seems like the appropriate place. So any objection to Representative Mannix's motion for the Dash 7 amendments? Further discussion? Otherwise, they're adopted. Nice work, Representative Mannix.
I have to step out. I'll be right back.
Okay, I have another point that I need to bring up conceptually. The point of the grandfathering that we haven't addressed at council.
I'm sorry, what?
The point of the grandfathering current concealed weapon permits in and giving them a certain, once this act becomes effective, giving all permits that are effective on that date, a certain amount to figure out when they're going to expire. And I don't think we'd have too much opposition from the work group or others.
Then you need a motion.
Well, the conceptual motion, since we're moving largely conceptually, would be that since I believe this act will probably be going into effect sometime around October 1st, I would say that all concealed weapon permits that are current on October 1st of 1989 will be given a grace period and will be in effect through October 1st of 1991. So essentially, if you have an active permit, you get your 2 years right there. You don't have to go through the new process and pay the $50.
What is the current time frame for weapons permits?
Usually they're 1 year. Maybe they can.
Mr. Chairman, I'd be willing to give them a 1 year grace period, but not 2 years. Since they would have had to have gone in within a year anyway.
The gentleman from the Attorney General's office.
Mr. Chairman, Lawrence Young from the Attorney General's office. One of the problems that you would have if you do give a grace period of 1 year or 2 years is that you're going to be excluding a number of people from your study, possibly. And you may want to consider that as well.
Chair,
how are they excluded from the study?
Well, if they don't have to have their permit renewed, they wouldn't be applying for any permit.
Correct me if I'm wrong, the study is on the purchase of the handgun, of the guns. Is the study based on the permit system?
Everything.
Mr. Chairman. Okay. We'd exclude it from that portion of the study. Representative Bryan.
I guess I'd like to hear from the working group before we do that. I've got two concerns. One is we're significantly changing the process by which you would get a concealed weapon permit. The concealed weapons permit becomes an instantaneous right to purchase. And I guess I would like to have some discussion on that.
In other words, they're getting a lot more baggage with the permit under this new bill.
Right.
Totally different.
We'll try to get some input from the working group on this. Maybe I'll, I don't know if we have time to really visit this issue thoroughly today, given our time frame of 10 o'clock, so maybe.
With deference to you, Mr. Chairman, I suggest we deal with it right away.
Well, there are a number of other issues we still have to deal with.
What are those, Mr. Chairman?
Well, I have one, for instance, in Section 21. If we might turn to that, we'll get back to the grandfathering, and I'll try to take the initiative to talk to some of the individuals in the work group before we come back to it, so as not to waste a lot of the committee's time. Section 21, the concern that some of my local gun owners have down in the Medford area is that this, first of all, in the subsection 1 of Section 21, they're concerned about the any similar instrument language, which I believe is current law, but that's one of the things I wanted to bring up to the committee. That might be something that is somewhat vague that we wouldn't want to leave in Section 21. And then maybe the more important concern is that in Section 2 or Subsection 2, if you have a concealed weapon permit, this section probably shouldn't apply to you. So we should probably include concealed weapon permit holders under subsection 2 and allow them to make
subsection 2 of 21?
Yes, section 21.
You're allowed to carry metal knuckles, switchblade knives, dirk, daggers, ice picks because of a concealed weapon permit? I don't think that's
you're carrying a concealed weapon, I think is the point. Well, throwing it out for the committee, is there any comment on either one of those?
I'd be opposed to either one, Mr. Chairman.
Any other comments from other committee members?
Well,
I would not agree with the deletion. I mean, I don't think there's any intent anywhere to authorize the concealed carrying of, you know, switchblades and brass knuckles and so forth.
The first concern is the any similar language or any similar instrument language, which is somewhat vague and doesn't really indicate what it's talking about, which is a concern. And the second one is if you have a concealed weapon permit, should you be allowed to carry these items or not? Assuming that they are concealed weapons, they can cause harm or to a person or property.
Chair, again, with all due respect, I just don't see the issue. It's existing law. We've discovered a dozen places going through this thing where existing law could be tighter. I don't know that we want to get into rewriting existing law.
Well, I wanted to bring it up for the...
No, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. But
that's when we could... The
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Mannix.
I move the entire bill as presently amended to the full committee.
I'm not prepared to accept that motion, Representative Mannix.
I challenge the ruling of the chair.
What's the procedure we have to go through?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, both the House rules and the 1989 version of Mason's Manual on Legislative Procedure indicate that the chair must accept the motion.
Well, the motion I'm going to accept first is my own motion. Sorry, to conceptually...
Call Representative Mannix's question.
I can move conceptually. I want to move a preemption section into the bill. That's the first motion that I'm going to accept.
I challenge the ruling of the chair.
Well,
I want to vote on my motion.
I won't accept the motion. Adjourn the.
I also challenge the chair. You do not have the authority to do that with the existing motion on the floor.
I didn't accept the motion.
You do not have the authority to do that, Mr. Chair.
I'm adjourning the meeting.
Three members of the committee are calling a
continuation of the meeting under House rules.
Well,
we have the authority to do that.
Can they do that or not?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I can.
That's fine. Let's look at the House rules. We have, I think we still have conceptually out a number of things that I want to look at before we go on, including the sunset. We have the grandfathering issue. We have the preemption issue, at least, Representative Mannix, to address. And I want to see the language in this bill before we move it.
I'm ready to move the bill, and I've made my motion.
Well, we don't have any language to move. We've got a conceptual amendment, and I'm not sure that if even under the House rules, we're allowed to move everything conceptually without knowing what the language is going to be. Because
committee precedent allows us to do that.
Well, committee precedent might, but we don't have any language with which to move at this time, Representative Mannix, so I can't accept the motion on a bill that doesn't right now exist.
I've challenged that ruling.
Here.
Representative Clark.
There's no reason for this thing to go. We had a good process up till now. There is absolutely no reason for this thing to break into combat mode at this point. We've dealt with the major issues left in the bill. We've moved conceptual bills all the time to the full committee. If there's problems with the bill at full committee, it could be moved back to subcommittee. And there's no reason for it to break down.
I don't think we're breaking down, but I think we have a couple of additional concerns that still have to be addressed. We've moved conceptually a sunset provision that I had might have had some problems with, but I haven't seen the thing in writing yet. And it was a very vague conceptual motion at best, and I personally want to see a copy of the language on that sunset provision before we move the bill. And I think that the subcommittee and every member of the subcommittee has a right to see the language of that before the bill moves and if there's any problems. We've had problems in the past with this particular bill on things sometimes coming out of council different than the way we sent them in, and I'm very concerned about that. And there are also, I think, at least three other significant issues that have to be raised in the bill, including the grandfathering, preemption, and possibly the sunsetting after we get the language back.
And I differ with you.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, if I could respond to a request that was made to me. House Rule 8.15 indicates that upon request of a majority of the members that the committee must meet.
Well, will it meet with 24-hour notice or without? Is that with or without notice?
It's actually with the approval of the speaker.
Okay, well, is it public meetings law require, I've adjourned this meeting, and public meetings law, I believe,
cannot,
require.
Excuse me, Mr.
Public
Chair,
meetings
you cannot
law.
Adjourn the meeting while there's a motion on the floor, so that.
Well, I never accepted the motion, so there never was a motion on the floor.
There was a motion on the floor. I challenge your ruling, and the members of the committee can vote on whether or not they accept my challenge.
I've adjourned the meeting.
Chair, you don't have the authority. You do not have the authority to adjourn a meeting while there is a motion on the floor.
I never accepted the motion.
You do not have the authority not to accept the motion, Mr. Chair.
I believe I have the authority not to accept the motion.
No, you
That's
do not.
That's not correct, Mr. Chair. You do not have. You have an obligation to accept an appropriate motion when made.
Well,
Mr. Chair,
I've adjourned. If I have to reopen the meeting, I'm going to at least move my preemption section, and we're going to vote on that prior to accepting any other motions.
Mr. Chair, no action can be taken until there is action taken on Representative Mannix's motion.
I don't believe, counsel, that I have to accept any motion in any particular order. If I want to accept, if there are two motions being presented, I'm allowed to accept whatever motion I see fit. And if I choose to accept the motion on preemption, I believe I can accept that motion.
I didn't make two motions. I made one motion.
Well, I made a motion also, Representative Mannix, and I believe I have my option of accepting whichever motion. I think that this might be an issue that will have to be taken through.
In that event, then I would call the question on the preemption motion.
The meeting's been adjourned, Representative Mannix.
I think we just said...
Chair's posture, the meeting's adjourned. If the committee wants to call for another meeting, they'll have to get permission from the Speaker and get a 24-hour notice. I've adjourned the meeting.
That is not the case, Mr. Speaker.
I've adjourned the meeting. I'm not prepared to move on this bill until we have it in writing from counsel, until we also have a chance to vote on a couple of other pertinent issues, including the preemption issue.
Have a nice day.
If the committee decides that they want to act otherwise, then they're going to have to act appropriately. But as far as I'm concerned, this meeting has been adjourned.
Okay. I guess the question now is whether the meeting can proceed. What kind of determination do we need to make that?
I think the committee can call for a meeting with 24, if they don't violate public meetings law, the committee, three members of the committee can call for a meeting on any bill they see fit with permission of the Speaker. As per the House rules, and in 24 hours you can hold another meeting on the bill.
Mr. Chairman, do you care to join us for this continued meeting?
Representative Mannix, I have no intention whatsoever to slow down the process of the bill any more than I have to. I do want to see the language in the bill, and I do plan to move this a week. If you want to meet him tomorrow to move the bill, that's... If the committee wants to move it quicker, they have no problem with that at all, as long as counsel can get us language on a new dash amendments immediately so we can proceed. But I want to see this stuff in writing before we move it. This is a major issue for me, a major issue for a lot of people, and I'm not comfortable moving this bill without seeing some of the things that we moved conceptually in writing. If the committee would indulge me, I'd ask that we, given the 24-hour notice rule, that we set a meeting for tomorrow and hopefully have this stuff back immediately from council and we can go forward. But I really want to see these things in writing before we go. Would the committee accept that as a...
Well, you've adjourned the meeting, and I don't know if the committee needs to discuss it.
Okay. Well, counsel, just for the record, will we be, or not for the record, but for discussion of the committee, will we be able to have conceptual amendments for this bill in written form by tomorrow? Okay. Then what I'm going to do is set another meeting for tomorrow, and the meeting will have the written conceptual amendments, or the conceptual amendments in writing, so we can look at them. And the meeting that I'm going to establish for tomorrow, what's an appropriate time, counsel? Immediately after family justice?
Mr. Chair, you won't have a quorum tomorrow.
Immediately after family justice?
That's what the chair directs. That's what I will do at this point.
We're going to schedule the meeting for 3 p.m. tomorrow. Obeying the 24-hour notice rule, and if family justice runs late, we'll come into meeting immediately after family justice. Would be acceptable, although it's a concern for him. We can move on this conceptually. Of course, I won't have any language to look at. But I don't know if the committee has any input. Just the conceptual, I would throw this out as a suggestion and ask for input on it before I make any motion whatsoever to find out what the committee's wishes are, that we pick a date of, and this is all flexible, but October 1 1989 and make all permits that are valid on October 1, 1989 valid for 2 years till September 31st, or 30 or 31 days in September, Council. September 30 or 31?
30 days has September 30.
September 30 of 1991, which would give, basically say, if you have a valid permit from your county to carry a concealed weapon as of October 1, 1989, we're going to give that permit all the same rights that current permits, that permits under this statute would have, and we're going to make them valid until September 30th of 1991. And in terms of the constituency back home, I think it would make the gun-owning people that 2,000 or 3,000 of whom are in Douglas County and Curry County alone, it would make a lot of those people much happier if they don't have to come up with $30 or $50, and I'm not sure which it would be under the current statute, in order to maintain their concealed weapon permit. Any suggestions for modifications to the motion that I care to make, Representative Clark?
Seems to me that it's a kind of a technical issue, and I suppose at the risk of running us into time problems, that it would be wise to get the feedback of law enforcement on how this is going to work. I mean, there ought to be a way to deal with existing. Speaking a different language.
What feedback of law enforcement? Let's see if we can bring some law enforcement up. This has been typical of the committee, but let's see if we can get some input from law enforcement on what. For Representative Clark.
Chairman, Chief Riley, Salem Police Department. Representative Clark, it was our discussion that it would be the natural progressions of things that they would be recognized until they naturally expire. They are a one-year term now. When they expire, they would apply and receive the new license through the new process.
Well, one thing, let me ask a question real quick before we get on. Would that be $30 for renewal or $50 for a brand new one then?
I don't recall that we discussed that.
It's another issue that the work group didn't solve. Representative Bryan, then Representative Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think getting at your question, that's what we ought to do, and that is allow existing permits to continue to operate until they expire. And in some cases, it's going to be a month or two. Others who have only recently been issued will have up to nearly a year or 10 or 11 months. So existing permits would continue to be valid until they expire. That's kind of a...
Would the existing permits then have all the same rights that we're giving permits under this statute, or would they only have the rights that existing permits have? What was the work group's decision on that?
I don't recall.
Mr. Chair, I think logically they'd have the rights that they have under the existing permit.
That's correct, and I also think the fee would be the renewal fee.
Only the renewal fee in order to get the new permit with rights.
The procedures that they would have to go through would be the new procedures, because those are going to happen. And the way the bill is currently drafted, the committee has not changed it, and so the person will have to go through the same application process every 2 years. And so when you go up for renewal, even if it's an old, previously issued license, the process would be the same. You'd have to comply with the new law, but it would technically be a renewal, and so therefore it would be $25. That's how, as I interpret this, what would happen.
Sure.
Council, renewal is $30, isn't it?
$25.
No,
thank you.
Representative Bryan.
I guess the problem is that when they do renew, they will be going through the new process, which includes the background check with state police and so forth. And I think I would like to check with the working group as to cutting that fee in half, because even though it's a renewal, the administration of the process is though it's brand new.
Well, let's please proceed, Representative Bryan. Ask your questions, and let's get some input on this. We'll
thank you, Major, or Chief Riley, or Major. The question is two questions. First being issuance
or when existing concealed weapons permits, could they still be honored until they naturally expire? In other words, we would not require people to come in and get new ones. They would be allowed to use their concealed weapons permit as they naturally expire. Any problem with that?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Bryan, I'm Major Wren for Oregon State Police. State Police would not oppose that at all. I think that would be appropriate.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, the second question then is when they come in to renew, although it's under a new set of circumstances and requirements, should the renewal fee be the renewal fee specified in the bill, $25, or should it be handled as a new concealed weapons application of $50?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Bryan, there are some considerations for the current holders when they do come in to renew their license. There are some additional background checks that will be conducted. And in essence, you can't separate the two out. You'd have to do a complete background check. As you know, there are additional things to capture. It does pose a problem. That's something that the working committee has not discussed, however. I would believe somewhere between the $25 renewal fee that's in the bill and $50, which would be for the original license.
Let me see. Representative Bryan, do you have anything else to continue on this? Representative Mannix.
The present version of the bill would call for $37, not $25, because it's $12 to the Department of State Police for conducting a records check, $38 to the county on a new license. You get a renewal, it's going to be $12 to the Department of State Police for doing a records check, and $25 to the county for a renewal of license. So you already have in this bill what you're talking about as far as fees go.
Representative Bryan.
I'm not sure that it would be read that way. If you A, B, C, and D are all separate listings, and item C, $25 to the county for renewal of a license, I'm not sure that it would be viewed in an additive way as you suggest.
I think that was the intent of the drafting of the bill.
Yes.
That it would be additive.
So it would be 37 for renewal anyway.
Correct. Because of the requirement of background checks, there's a threshold $12 immediately that goes to the state police for doing that, and then your other fees are add-ons.
Okay, we're getting confused here about what we're paying for what. Does the working group have a recollection of whether it thought it was going to be charging 25, 30, or 37 for the renewal?
See, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, just briefly, the $50 that people are talking about is the 38 plus 12.
Right.
And so there is an assumption that there is an add-on. Otherwise, we wouldn't have gotten to 50.
We understand the 50.
Oh, I see.
So, I mean, the 50 comes 12, from the 38 and 12.
12 plus 25.
So there's an add-on right there. So based on that logic, there is an assumption there is an add-on.
It'd be its renewal rate.
So the renewal rate would be 25 plus 12.
Can anybody help us with this, or do we need any help at this point?
I don't think so.
That helped.
Okay.
What, I'm glad.
Okay, we understand the 50, but do we add the 12 to the 25 also?
Yes, because still have to do the background check. The $12 does not go away because the background check is required when the renewal application is made.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Mannix.
There was a question raised about the efficacy of the current concealed handgun permit in terms of purchasing firearms without a waiting period. I think that's addressed by page 18 of the -11 version, which says any current concealed handgun permit or license issued by any state, that would include Oregon, that has requirements substantially comparable to those of this state for issuance of the permit, meaning under this act, of course. And if the prior concealed handgun permits were not issued under similar circumstances, which they have not been, then they're still going to have to go through a waiting period, it seems to me, under those concealed weapon permits that they're carrying right now. If they want to do away with the waiting period, they have to go through this background check and get the new kind of handgun permit, concealed weapon permit. Maybe Major Renfro can correct me if I'm wrong about that, but that's how I read that.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Mannix, I believe that's correct. The those out-of-state licenses that the state police was to determine which were compatible with Oregon was only for the purposes, I believe, persons traveling through the state. But if they took up residence in the state, I believe they would have to go through the same procedure.
The one thing we might want to add is a sentence that says concealed handgun permits issued under predecessors to this act within the state of Oregon shall remain valid until their expiration date or until they expire under the provisions of the prior laws. And I so move.
Please state your motion again, Representative Mannix.
Concealed handgun permits issued under predecessor laws of this state shall remain in effect until they expire. That one sentence. We could put that in section 4A on page 18.
Conceptual, subject to any refinement of that language, that there may be a different way to state
it. Yeah, that's the statement. If there's a couple of words different that we want to use.
Current valid permits remain current and valid until their natural expiration.
Until they expire under the provisions of predecessor laws. I say that because someone may have committed a felony or done something else where someone would want to revoke it.
Yeah.
Until they expire or are revoked pursuant to predecessor laws. I make that motion, Mr. Chairman.
Grandfather's existing license.
Okay, is there any discussion of the motion? Does anybody understand the motion? Does anybody not understand the motion? Any objection to the motion? It's adopted.
Chair.
Representative Clark.
I want to revisit an issue very briefly that we were on just a few minutes ago, because I think there's a way out. A few minutes ago we were talking about Section 11 on page 20, what to do with the language about the informality. Apparently there are some members of the gun groups that are uncomfortable with two words in that section as it exists, and that is that on line 17 the phrase dispense justice, and I think the concern is that that could be read broadly to make the argument for the folks who are concerned. A judge can say, I'm not going to dispense justice by giving you a gun. I think their concern is that's a little overbroad. I would just move that the two words dispense justice come out and that the phrase be administer the law. I think it's a non-issue, but it is apparently an issue to some of the gun control, some of the gun advocacy groups.
Okay, Council, understand the motion?
Sole object being to administer the law.
Administer the law promptly and economically. I think that does what they need to do without complicating our lives substantially.
Okay. Everybody understand the motion? Anybody feel the need to discuss the motion? Anyone object to the motion? Motion's adopted.
Mr. Chairman?
I'm going to come back to the other issue real quick, the one we didn't address. We were going to keep the concealed weapons permits that are currently in effect, but I'm still unclear on what we concluded on the $37 charge, which I think is more than we had anticipated the renewal cost to be. And Representative Bryan had raised this concern. Does the committee have any feelings on this? Do we need to run the additional records check, the $12 records check, or should the applicant have to pay for that when he's renewing, or not? Because we're charging 37. I mean, let's get down to it. It's $50 to get it, and it's $37 for a renewal.
That's for 2 years.
And that bothers me. It's for 2 years, and it's a lot of money, and it bothers me. It's a lot more than current renewals are $2.50. Does anybody else have similar concerns on this?
No, yes or no.
I would, Representative Bryant.
No, Mr. Chairman, I was not saying anything.
I would make a motion that the $25 fee be reduced to $13 so as to make the renewal $25.
Mr. Chair,
Yes, Council.
All renewals? Or just the across the board renewals? We're no longer talking about the grandfathering in issue.
This is not grand. That's going to make a separate motion on that.
Okay, that's what I wanted. That's what I was anticipating. Okay.
This is just for
this
all.
Just to cut, take the 25 on line 15 and cut it in half.
Cut it. We'll cut it to 13. So that way the renewal charge will be $25 instead of. Let me state for the record, just so we don't nobody gets the wrong idea on this. I think that's too much. But I'm looking for a middle ground that we can compromise and come to something that's reasonable that we might get three votes for to adjust in this committee. I think a change from $2.50, which is $5 every 2 years, to $25 is a heck of a fee increase, and I find those types of things real hard to support. But I'm going to make the motion to make the reduction from $25 down to $13, which will give us the $25 renewal price. Does everybody understand that conceptual motion? Council looks perplexed.
Could you state the motion back?
Page 17, line 15, delete the number 25, insert the number 13.
No. 25 first time round, 13 second time round, or 13 each time, Mr. Chairman, which way?
Way is the current motion.
All right, thank you.
The line, what
understand.
It does, yeah, it says 38 to the county for the issuance of concealed handgun license.
And 25 for the renewal.
To the motion.
And 25 for the renewal, so what this would do is reduce that to 13 and make the full price 25. To the motion, Representative Mannix.
So, Mr. Chairman, we had extensive discussion with the work group and other witnesses regarding the fees issue, and I was satisfied from the evidence presented that it actually cost the county $25 to carry out the renewal as well as the initial license issuance because of the kind of investigation the sheriff may find it necessary. In fact, in some cases, it's a loss leader. Sometimes they'll recoup. Other times, it's going to be a loss situation. And it may sound like a lot of money, but actually, in terms of the kind of background check that we want to see conducted or information gathered, if there's any question in the local community, I thought the original figure was reasonable.
Thank you for that comment, Representative Mannix. Are there any other discussion on the motion? Everyone understand the motion? I'll take that as an objection to the motion, so the clerk will call the roll.
Representative Bryant?
No.
Clark?
No.
Mannix?
No.
Chairman Miller?
Aye.
Yes. Motion fails. Okay. The motion I wanted to make earlier, which I will try to make succinctly, we won't spend too much time on it, would be to grandfather in all permits that are valid as of October 1 of 1989 and make those permits valid with the current with the rights that we give under the statute to permits until September 30 of 1991. And since we're jacking the permits up, the cost of the renewal substantially over the $2.50 for the citizens out there that have concealed weapon permits, I think it's only appropriate that we at least give them a couple of years of a free ride before we really start sticking them with those high fees. That's the basis for the motion. I think Representative Bryan has a comment on the motion.
I thought we had dealt with the grandfathering aspect by honoring the existing licenses till their expiration.
I think we had addressed it partially, and I thought that was better. I mean, that was better than nothing, but I think that given the price that is going to have to be paid for the renewals, I'm making the motion that we, if we're going to charge them that much in fees, we at least give them a couple years worth of leniency for those people that currently have permits.
Hey, Mr. Chair, I just would say that the purpose of the fees is to recover actual costs of the application and the background check. And
Mr. Chair, what would your motion be? Data that would be collected during the first couple of years.
Well, the people that currently have concealed weapon permits, wouldn't need to come back to renew.
I guess that's my concern, is that maybe distorting the accuracy of whatever data we collect in the first couple of years on who's making these purchases.
Not being all that hopeful, the motion is going to pass. I'll make it. I'll make the motion. Representative Mannix, do you object to the motion?
Yes.
Representative Bryan, do you object to the motion?
Yes.
Representative Clark, do you object to the motion?
Reluctantly.
Motion fails. Okay. Representative Clark, do you have any motions you would like to make on this bill?
What I would like to do on the preemption issue. I think that the language you proposed was too broad, and I'm not smart enough to figure out it 10 minutes after 4, better language. But I guess I want to propose two things. One, not raise the preemption issue in this bill. There is a preemption bill currently in front of civil subcommittee that says that where the state moves in a civil, in a criminal area, that localities are prohibited, are not prohibited from enacting civil remedies on the same subject matter area, just because the state has moved. I guess what I would suggest is that we would take, assuming the relating clause is the same, we would take preemption language into that bill. I'm afraid of what preemption language will do to the consensus that's sort of grown up around this bill. So that would be my proposal. I could support preemption language there.
All right. Do I understand that you're suggesting that we simply advise the civil subcommittee that this is an interesting subject?
I'm on it. You're on it.
I know.
Move an amendment to that bill.
I'd be perfectly happy to consider it in the civil subcommittee on that bill.
Because I'm concerned that the preemption issue is not an easy issue. We got courts going all over the place on what it means in the civil context, in the criminal context. I'm just not comfortable with the breadth of the language that we're proposing.
Certainly understand your concern on this issue. So, Representative Clark, are there any other motions you'd like to make?
Eyebrow, like I have another motion to make. Mr. Chair, do I have any other motions to make? I don't believe I do.
Well, if you don't, then you don't. Okay. Anybody else have any motions they want to make for purposes of amending the bill? Representative Bryan, would you have a motion as to the bill?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'd move House Bill 3470-11 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you very much, Representative Bryan, for that kind motion that you just placed before the committee. Is there any discussion of that motion? Does everyone understand the motion? Okay. I might say for the record, I'm going to vote no on this, and one of the primary, although having a number of concerns substantively with the bill, one of the primary concerns that I have is that I haven't seen the language. And I know with my discussions with various organizations that some people are uncertain about leaving it up, and with all due respect to counsel, who I enjoy, love, and certainly much more learned than anyone on the committee, by far. I'm kind of a, I guess I probably belong in Missouri, I'm kind of a show me person, and I want to see the language before I vote on it. But the powers that be want the bill anyway. And they're not used to operating quite that way, and maybe they're not quite as used to operating in the court system, which might be a problem. But that's going to be at least one of the reasons for my no vote on Representative Bryan's kind motion.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Clark.
One comment on that is that I think committee precedent, at least this session, has been if we get to full committee and the bill looks different than we expect it to look, if it's a technical amendment, I believe committee rules and allow us to make technical amendments at full committee. If it's more than a technical amendment, I certainly would be open to seeing the bill come back to this committee to fix what we're doing. I mean, there are people in a hurry, but nobody's in such a hurry that we don't want to turn out the bill that we're trying to turn out. And if the bill doesn't look like what it's supposed to look like when it gets to full committee, and I'm convinced of that, then I'll join a motion to send it back here and make it look like we were trying to make it look. So,
Clark, my concern is that by the time it's in full committee, we may not have the votes.
Well, then you may have some more no votes in full committee. I mean, that's the other option there. So, we are still in control of the process. I mean, we're still the ones that constitutionally have the votes. It doesn't seem like it sometimes, but
I appreciate that comment.
You referencing really? This bill?
Yes.
Well, we figured out today how much it was going to cost, finally, so I thought that was important. Any other comments on the bill?
It's a good bill.
Okay, clerk will call the roll.
Representative Bryan.
Aye.
Clark.
Aye.
Mack.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Chair Calhoun.
No. Motion carries. We're done.
Oh, we adjourned.
No.